promised before through the prophets. Let us hear the word of God as it's found in Romans chapter 1 and reading from verse 2 to 4. Romans 1 verse 2 to 4. Which he promised before through his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of God. Jesus Christ was promised before through the prophets. Careful investigation is encouraged by Scripture. There is nothing wrong with being cautious and careful when it comes to eternal matters. Indeed, there is much in the world that we should be skeptical about. We should not be gullible. There is far too much superstition and ignorance and gullibility in the world today. We should carefully investigate and establish what the facts are. We need to have the courage to face the facts. Christianity does not require people to make a blind leap into the dark. That is paganism. That is witchcraft. That is superstition. That is not Christianity. False religions require blind faith. Christianity never encourages blind faith. An intelligent step into the light in response to facts. We do not promote faith in faith, but faith in facts. It is not the amount of faith you have, but the object of that faith. It's in whom you place your faith that matters. Thomas declared, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, unless I put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And yet, when Thomas was confronted by the risen Lord Jesus, he knew that Christ is risen from the dead. And he dedicated the rest of his life to proclaiming the truth of the resurrected Messiah. And he died for Christ. He was martyred for Christ in India. After establishing churches which remain to this day, the Bar Thomas churches in India remain to this day as a testimony to the fact that doubting Thomas died in faith. Of the 26 books of the world that claim to be some kind of holy books, like the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran and so on, specific prophecies concerning the future are strikingly absent. You will not find specific predictive prophecy in the writings of Buddha, Lao Tzu, Confucius, or Muhammad. And the reason for the lack of prophecies is that real prophecies, ones that work, require supernatural ability. When I've challenged Ahmadinejad, the number one Muslim evangelist of our day, in the Islamic Propagation Center in Durban, in a public debate, the four TV cameras, said, "Can you name any prophecies that Muhammad gave that were fulfilled?" And after waiting for a long time and a lot of humming and hawing, he came up with, "Well, Muhammad prophesied the fall of the Roman Empire." Well, considering that Muhammad was born in 570 and he died in 632, the Roman Empire fell in the 5th century. That's what you call history, not prophecy. Prophecy needs to be before. The Bible is a unique book in every way. From the Old Testament alone, more than 2,000 specific prophecies have already been fulfilled. 333 prophecies concerning the Messiah were fulfilled in the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Others will be fulfilled at a second coming. Some years ago, when I was conducting evangelistic outreaches in Hillbrow, I had a conversation with two young men, Jewish men, who claimed that they were waiting for the promised Messiah. Now, this is quite remarkable, because most Jewish people are not waiting for the Messiah and are not actually even religious. Most are very secular. But these two young men seemed to be very religious, and they said that they were waiting for Al-Mashiach. I read to them from Psalm 53 and Psalm 22 and asked them, "Who do you understand these passages to be talking of?" And they said, "Well, obviously it's Jesus of Nazareth, but so what? That's from your New Testament." No, I pointed out, these are not from the New Testament. These are from the Old Testament. Psalm 22 was written 1,000 years before Christ, written by King David. The best description of the crucifixion that we have in Scripture was written 1,000 years before it. Isaiah 53 was written by the prophet Isaiah 600 years before the coming of Christ and the fulfillment of these prophecies. They were shocked, as they should have been. I handed them a Bible to read for themselves and encouraged them, go back home, take your Bible, your Old Testament off the shelf, and you see if this is not so. And this is a powerful testimony to the reality of who Christ is. There are 333 passages in the Old Testament that make predictions about the Messiah. And they contain 451 specific prophecies or details in these passages. All of them fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. The law of God revealed through the prophet Moses declared, Deuteronomy 18:22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. The Old Testament scriptures are the word of God. However, they are definitely incomplete. The Old Covenant speaks of a king from the line of David, whose kingdom will never end. It spoke of all the families of the nations of the earth being blessed by the seed of Abraham. It spoke of a prophet like Moses, arising from among the people, whose teaching would be unparalleled. It spoke of a servant of the Lord, whose death would atone for the sins of his people, of one who will make a new covenant with his people, a new covenant between God and man, writing his laws upon our heart. It spoke of one who had put the Spirit of God in the hearts of men so that they would know God personally and have their sins wiped out. It spoke of a stone rejected by the builders, which would become the chief cornerstone. It spoke of one like the Son of Man who would receive authority, honor, and royal power so that the people of all nations, all races, all languages would serve him. It spoke of a priest of the order of Melchizedek, whom the Almighty would call Lord and welcome to his throne. It spoke of a coming Messiah who would be born of the tribe of Judah, from David's line, in Bethlehem. He would be despised, he would be rejected by the very people he came amongst. He would die amongst wicked people, and his tomb would be supplied to him by a rich man. Yet he would live again, forever, and the Lord's purposes would succeed through him. All of this was fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not some of it, not most of it, all of it. 331 prophecies fulfilled in the life of Christ. Over 30 just on the day of his death. Prophecies made by many prophets over 1,000 years and more were fulfilled in one historic person. A baby born a king, destined to die that we might have abundant life eternally. Isaiah 46 verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet. Isaiah 48 says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, even from the beginning. And I've declared it to you before it came to pass. I proclaimed it to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, taught Matthew 5:17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. After he had risen from the dead, Jesus appeared to some of his followers on the road to Emmaus. We read about this in Luke 24. And beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, and the Psalms, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. To his disciples he explained, Luke 24:44, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All the scriptures speak of Christ. All of the Bible testifies of Christ. Jesus said in John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Again and again in the scriptures, we read of how the Lord Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecies. But all this was done so that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Jesus began his public ministry by reading from a messianic prophecy from the book of Isaiah, declaring, Luke 4, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In the book of Acts, we read that the apostles taught that Jesus Christ fulfilled the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. Acts 3:18. But these things that God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. To him, all the prophets witness. The Levitical feasts of the Old Covenant are all fulfilled in Christ. The Passover is fulfilled in the death of Christ. He is a Passover lamb. The Feast of First Fruits is fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ. He is the First Fruits. The Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So, what are some of the messianic prophecies fulfilled in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ? After the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, God promised a Redeemer, born of the seed of woman, who would suffer and would defeat Satan. The Proto-Evangelicum, you read in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, an injury to heel is not fatal, but an injury to the head can most certainly be fatal. And the symbol of crushing the serpent's head is seen throughout Scripture, which is what the Messiah did. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, we read in Galatians 4. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Yeshua, al-Mashiach, that Jesus is the Savior, God who saves. The Messiah would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. The Messiah would be a descendant of Abraham. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. That's Genesis 22:18. And the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, is the first words of Matthew 1 verse 1. Jesus is the son of Abraham. And it's most significant that Jesus called the son of Abraham, as this points to the fact that he's called to the altar of the cross. God himself will provide the lamb, Abraham had said. And in fact, God himself is the lamb. The first time he came as the lamb of God, as the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, who would end the need for any other sacrifices. God himself has provided the lamb. But he's also called the son of David, because he is destined to the crown and the throne. The first time he came as a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But the second time he does not come as a lamb. He does not come as a sacrifice. He does not come as a savior. The second time he comes as the judge, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conqueror. He comes the next time not as a lion, not as a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The Messiah would be born of the line of Isaac. Genesis 21:12. But God said to Abraham, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And we read, therefore in Luke, Jesus, the son of Isaac. So all these prophecies are identifying the Messiah would come from the Hebrew race and of the line of Abraham and Isaac. But the Messiah would be a descendant from Jacob. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, we read. In Numbers 24:17. And Luke, we read Jesus, the son of Jacob. So plainly, when you often wonder, why are there these long genealogies? Why does Matthew and Luke start with genealogies? Well, it's all showing proof of the fulfillment of these prophecies. The scripture prophesied that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath between his feet, until Shiloh comes. To him shall be the obedience of the people. Genesis 49:10. And that's why Jesus called the son of Judah, in Luke. The Messiah would come from the family of Jesse. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesus, the son of Jesse, fulfills Isaiah 11 verse 1. And these prophecies are all part of Handel's Messiah's repertoire, singing their way through the scriptures leading up to the birth of the Messiah and his triumph. The Messiah would come from the house of David. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness. And that's why Jesus is called the son of David in Luke 3. So these prophecies are telling us the Messiah would be born of a virgin from the line of Abraham, descended from Isaac, not Ishmael, from Jacob, not Esau, from the tribe of Judah, eliminating 11/12 of the tribes of Israel as possibilities, from the family of Jesse, from the house of David. And now the prophecies get even more specific as to where the Messiah would be born. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are of old from everlasting. And we read Jesus born in Bethlehem in Judea. In Matthew 2 verse 6, the scribes informed King Herod with great assurance when he said, where would the Messiah be born? And they said, in Bethlehem. And it's only fitting that Bethlehem, the town of David, and the name Bethlehem meaning house of bread, should be the birthplace of the one who is the bread of life. There are other prophecies that the Messiah would be presented gifts from kings. Psalm 72 and Isaiah 60, for example. And this was partially fulfilled when the wise men from the east came and fell down and worshipped him and opened up treasures and presents to the young baby Jesus. The prophecy of lamentation for slain children in Jeremiah 31:5 was fulfilled when King Herod ordered that all male children under 2 years old in the district of Bethlehem were to be put to death in order to wipe out the promised Messiah, which we read about in Matthew 2. Other messianic prophecies include that he shall be called Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Psalm 110 is one of the most prophesied, most repeated psalms in the New Testament. For there is born to you this day in David's city a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he said to them, Jesus questioned Matthew 22, the Pharisees, saying, how can David call him Lord? How can David in the Spirit call the Messiah Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? If David calls him Lord, how then can he be David's son? And of course, the chief priests and the Pharisees could not answer that. It is prophesied that the Messiah will be a prophet. I will raise up for them a prophet like Moses from amongst your brethren, and put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak them all that I command. Deuteronomy 18:18. Matthew 21:11. So the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now it should be noted that both Christ and Moses were both delivered from a violent death in the infancy. Pharaoh tried to kill all the boys born to the Hebrews in Egypt, and King Herod tried to kill all the baby boys born in Bethlehem. Both of them exercised control over the sea, Moses by parting the Red Sea, Jesus by calming the sea. Both fed multitudes of people miraculously. Moses fed them manna in the wilderness, Jesus fed thousands with just a handful of loaves and fishes. Both mediated between Yahweh and Israel and made intercession on behalf of simple people. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and Jesus initiated a new covenant. We also read that the Messiah will be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 110 verse 4. And Hebrews 3, we read, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is of the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5:5, so also Christ did not glorify himself to be high priest, but was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Messiah would be a judge. Isaiah 33 verse 22 says, there's only one judge and only one Savior, and that's Yahweh. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, He will save us. And in Titus 2:13 we read, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem for Himself a people freed from all lawless deeds and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. You can see God's people. They are zealous to serve Him and to extend His kingdom. The Messiah would be king. Yet I have established my king on Zion, my holy hill, we read in Psalm 2. And in Jeremiah 23 and in Zechariah 9. But in Revelation 19:16 we read, and He has on His robes and on His thigh a name, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Messiah will be king, judge, priest, prophet. And the Messiah would have a special anointing from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's in Isaiah 11:2. And so in Matthew 3 we read, when He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened upon Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Messiah would be preceded by a messenger who would prepare the way in the wilderness for Him. Isaiah 40 verse 3, major emphasis of Handel's Messiah. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall go low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and a rough place is smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That's Isaiah 40:3-5. And in Matthew 3:1-3 we read, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is He who is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His paths straight. And notice, it's not prepare the way only of the Messiah, but prepare the way for Yahweh, for Jehovah, for the Lord Himself, for God. The Messiah's ministry would be in Galilee, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. Most people assume that Jerusalem is where Jesus did most of His ministry. Actually, He did very little ministry in Jerusalem. It was only in the last days of His life. He was overwhelmingly in the north, in Galilee, in the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, and ministering amongst Galilee of the Gentiles. If you go and follow the different parts of Jesus' life, as when Daniel was here and he spent some time in Israel, he was pointing out all the different places in the north of Israel where Jesus performed His ministry. And so we read in Matthew 4, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, He departed to Galilee. On leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven will be at hand. The Messiah would work miracles. Isaiah 34:5. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb will sing for joy. And so we read in Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Luke 7:22 said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached them. He would teach in parables. Psalm 78 verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings as of old. Fulfilled Matthew 13. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable He would not speak to them. He would enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, and He brings salvation. Humble, lowly, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's Zechariah 9 verse 9. Fulfilled in Luke 19. And they brought the donkey to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And he went, many spreading their clothes out before him. And the Messiah would suddenly enter his temple. Malachi 3 verse 1, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Matthew 21, 12, then Jesus went into the temple and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. He would be zealous for God's house. Psalm 69 verse 9, because zeal for your house has consumed me. We read in John 2, when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And he said, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then Jesus went to the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the moneylenders and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. The Messiah would be a stone of stumbling. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He will be as a sanctuary, but as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble. That's Isaiah 8. We read in Luke 20, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to dust. And 1 Peter 2 verse 7, therefore to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You fall on Christ, he will cut you to pieces. If he falls on you, he will crush you to dust. He would be betrayed by a friend. Even my familiar friend in whom I trusted and who ate my bread, he has lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 41 verse 9 is fulfilled in Matthew 10. Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Christ. He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, we read in Zechariah 11, verse 12. And we read in Matthew 26, Judas asked the chief priest, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver, which, by the way, was the price of a slave. The blood money would be thrown into the house of God. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Strange prophecy in Zechariah 11:13. But we read in Matthew 27, and he threw down the pieces of silver into the temple and he departed. And after they consulted together, they bought with him a potter's field to bury strangers in for the blood money that Judas had thrown back at them. The Messiah would be forsaken by his disciples, and they all forsook him and fled, fulfilling Zechariah 13:7, speaks about the shepherd being struck and all his followers fleeing. He would be accused by false witnesses, and the chief priests and elders and the council sought false testimony against Jesus, put him to death. He would be silent before his accusers. Isaiah 53 speaks of him being oppressed and afflicted, yet opening not his mouth. He would be wounded and bruised for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him. By his stripes we will be healed. He would be beaten and abused. I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from the shame and spitting. Isaiah 50 verse 6. And they spat in his face and they beat him and others struck him. Matthew 26. He would be mocked. Psalm 22 speaks that all who see me ridicule me. They shoot out their lips. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Psalm 22 is fulfilled in Matthew 27. When they twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him. His hands and his feet would be pierced, you read in Psalm 22. He would be executed with thieves. And he poured out his soul into death, and he is numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53, 12. In fact, Christ was crucified between two criminals. He would intercede for his persecutors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors, we read in Isaiah 53. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He would be rejected by his own people. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our face with him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. His friends would stand afar off and aloof. And we read how his relatives and acquaintances and the woman who came from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. People would shake their heads at him, wag their heads at him, it even says. I became a reproach to them. They looked at me and they shook their heads. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, we read in Matthew 27. His garments would be gambled for. Psalm 22:18, they divide my garments amongst them, my clothing they cast lots for. Gall and vinegar would be offered to him. Psalm 69. He would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the first verse of Psalm 22. And Christ cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He would commit his spirit to God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. When Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. None of his bones would be broken. Psalm 34 verse 40. And when they saw that Jesus was already dead, they did not break his legs, which was normal for a person crucified. His side would be pierced. They will look on me whom they pierced. The soldiers pierced his side with a spear. His heart would break. Psalm 22 verse 14. My heart is like wax that is melted within me. When the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, blood and water came out. Medical sign of a broken heart. There would be darkness over the land. And it came to pass in that day, says Lord, I'll make the sun go dark at noon. I'll darken earth in broad daylight. Amos 8 verse 9. And from the 6th hour till the 9th hour, there was darkness over the land. We read in Matthew 27. As they calculate hours from sun rise to sunset, this would make the 6th hour to the 9th hour from noon to 3 in the afternoon. He'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. And they made his grave with the wicked, with the rich at his death, Isaiah 53. And the rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, made his tomb available for Christ. He would rise from the dead. Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Meaning, the body decay. He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, and foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of whom we are all witnesses, we read in Acts 2. He would ascend on high, we read in Psalm 68. He would be seated at the right hand of the Father, Psalm 110. Many Gentiles, including kings, would come to his light. Isaiah 60, the Gentiles would come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. That's especially fulfilled in the 19th century, in the greatest century of missions, when whole kings and kingdoms came to Christ. For God has so commanded us, I've set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now these are only some of the over 333 Old Testament prophecies concerning the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled in his first coming. The place of his birth, the time of his birth, the unique manner of his birth, the manner of his death, and much more is prophesied in great details from 500 to over 1,000 years before his birth. All of these prophecies were fulfilled in Christ and established solid confirmation of his credentials as Messiah. To him all the prophets witness, we read in Acts 10 verse 43. Jesus is the seed of the woman, born of the Virgin. Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, prophet, priest, king, King of kings, Lord of lords, eternal judge. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk and the dumb to sing for joy. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught in parables. At the appointed time, he entered Jerusalem on a donkey. He came to Jerusalem, to the temple, suddenly, and he cleansed it. He was a rock of offense, and he's still a stone of stumbling to the Jews. But he's become a light to the Gentiles. He was betrayed by his friend for 30 pieces of silver, forsaken by his own disciples, accused by false witness. He was wounded, he was bruised, he was smitten, he was spat upon, he was mocked and he was crucified, yet he rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. He is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, he is the eternal judge before whom each one of us will stand. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. Have you surrendered your life to him? Are you living in obedience to him? Do you love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is Jesus Christ your eternal Savior? Or is he your Lord? You may know these prophecies, but do you know the one of whom the prophet spoke? You may know the shepherd's psalm, but do you know the shepherd? The Lord Jesus declared, his sheep know his voice. They follow him. They know him. Does the Lord know you? Do you hear his voice? Are you obeying his voice? Are you faithfully following him? Let us share this message with our friends and family and neighbors, strangers, and those that we come across in the shops in the coming days. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've accomplished. We thank you, Lord God, that you're reigning on high and that you're coming again to judge the living and the dead. May you make us more faithful to your word, more effective in your service. May you make us brave and bold for you. May you receive glory and honor during this Christmas season as we remember your first advent and as we seek to prepare ourselves for the second. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.